first of all, it's important to keep it simple. And if we take a look at the words, the word derangement or confusion or delusion within the context here, what we're really talking about is lack of recognition of the true nature of phenomena, whether they're tangible or intangible. So that applies to everything whatsoever. It's a lack of a clear understanding of the fundamental nature or condition of all phenomena. And due to that lack of understanding, there is derangement, confusion, and delusion. By instinctively realizing the nature of phenomena beyond all conceptual frameworks, it becomes possible to no longer have confusion apply to any situation. In other words, there is an absence of confusion in all situations, no matter what the situation might be. So, say, for example, one has gone through certain circumstances in one's life repeatedly, whatever they are, fear of economic insecurity or the same old issues and upsets with friends and relatives or whatever they may be. And that whenever these states come about, one enters into confusion, derangement, and delusion, and that they're captured by these states. And then either feel overwhelmed by them and immobilized, or feel that they need to apply some kind of an antidote to change what's going on. And so what happens in that process is, say the fear of financial insecurity comes up. The fear of financial insecurity comes up, and rather than just allowing it to be as it is and vanish naturally of its own accord without connecting it to any description, one enters into a story about that fear that's come up. So the fear of financial insecurity comes up, or it may be some other fear or some other issue. Whatever the issue is, it comes up, and then rather than just maintaining awareness and allowing the perception to take its course, one enters headlong into a story about the issue, whatever it is. Oh, I have this issue because of karma, or I have it because I've always lived this way. It'll never get any better. I have it because I have a limited education, or I have it because I don't have any money. These are all ways of making the perception relevant within some kind of context, giving it meaning and significance within some kind of greater context. So what is the fear of financial insecurity appearing just as it is in the moment, which would vanish naturally without a trace if it were just left, if it would be left as it is? What happens instead is that something is demanded of it. A story is demanded of it. It appears, fear of financial insecurity, and all of a sudden it's, tell me your story, fear of financial insecurity. And the fear of financial insecurity just goes off connecting the dots with all of whatever it might be, the upbringing, the lack of a job, the lack of money, the destiny of continuing to have this issue forever, the destiny of feelings at least sporadic, if not ongoing, states of confusion about this issue and many other things. And so this is what it means to be deranged or confused or deluded. It's not understanding that when that fear comes up, that there really isn't anything that to be said about it. One can say something about it, but that is not the optimal solution. To enter into any kind of story about it is not the optimal way of being human, and that's what we're talking about here. The optimal way of being human is to instinctively realize that there is something about us as human beings that is beyond reification, and that when we instinctively get in touch with that about us which is beyond all descriptions, beyond having any kind of independent nature, then we find a tremendous resource of power within ourselves, a power to be free of confusion, to be free of derangement, to be free of delusion, moment to moment. And that we can tap into that power only most often by training ourselves to just simply be in touch with that instinctive part of ourselves that is naturally settled within all of nature's intelligence. If we tap into that power, then we have the power of incredible insight and compassion. And we find, too, within this optimal way of being human, a skillfulness that does not come about by reifying everything. Now, there isn't anything wrong with phenomena or the reification of phenomena. However, if that's all that's known about phenomena, then we are deluded, confused, and deranged. If we think that phenomena are only their description and that they don't appear within a greater context, then we're very limited and restricted in the way we're looking at things. So it's just understanding simply that all phenomena have two aspects: their description, whatever it might be, and their fundamental condition. And that the fundamental condition is the ultimate description of the phenomena. The phenomenon, all whatever it is always appearing, enduring, and resolving in, of, as, and through this fundamental condition. It's never anything other than that. So for all phenomena, it is instinctive to every single phenomenon that it is the fundamental condition. Do you see what I'm saying? It is instinctive to every phenomenon that it is the fundamental condition. It cannot be not instinctive. In human beings, we just don't see this because we train ourselves not to see it. But once we do see it, then we have the power of the instinctive realization of our place in nature, as well as an understanding of all phenomena. And so it's a matter of really what we want for ourselves and how we want to live. When it comes to morality and ethics, the instinctive nature that we all have has a perfect sense of morality and ethics that is already existent and already present. The only way we'll ever know that is to become familiar with and confident in that instinctive nature of ourselves. We can never simply just learn about it, because it's instinctive, it's beyond thought and reason. Instinct doesn't require any thought or reason. Instinct is pure and simple. It just is the way things are. And so you see that greatly informs then our relationship to the world of description. When we describe our world, we're no longer describing it in the same way that we did when we thought that phenomena had an independent nature. The way we think about what we see is greatly different. The way we interpret what we see is greatly different. We can go through exactly the same points of view coming up. For example, today what we're using is the example of economic insecurity. We can go through exactly the same fear coming up, and it is no longer confusing. We're no longer subject to delusion in the face of it. We're instinctively settled in the release from all descriptive frameworks. We're instinctively settled in what we can really count on about ourselves. So no matter what comes up and no matter how big the emotions and thoughts are, they're no longer so compelling that they overwhelm us. Why? Because our instinctive realization of the nature of reality outshines all those points of view, whatever they are, in the same way that the daytime sun outshines the planets and stars that were so visible at night. And so it's only by repeatedly accustomizing oneself to awareness, the root of all perceptions, which is our touchstone with our instinctive nature, that we are able to feel settled. You see, when the fear of an economic insecurity comes up and we choose to simply rest as awareness, to let everything be as it is, to just let this perception go its merry way, we identify with our instinctive nature rather than with the description of what's appearing within that nature. What is appearing within that nature is of that nature. It's already free. It doesn't need to be freed. It doesn't need to have any antidotes applied to it. It doesn't need a massage or any tweaking or understanding. It'll just go its way as it does. By repeatedly returning to instinctive awareness rather than getting all wrapped up in the description, it just becomes more and more obvious that the fundamental condition of all descriptions is this openness of complete release, of complete spaciousness, of complete freedom from the need to describe. And so, you know, it's really up to us. If we are seeking some kind of comfort and antidotes that involve stories that describe everything we're experiencing, then it's going to be impossible for us to feel the total relief that is at our disposal. It'll be impossible to really understand our instinctive nature. Now, the only way that human beings can really come to a complete understanding of themselves is to really understand what makes them tick. So when we understand what makes us tick, we understand the way things really are. And it can be very humbling to realize that the way we've always approached everything is really essentially doing us no good. It can be very humbling to realize that. But it's good to realize that, because in realizing that, then we can make a choice for something that really will support us in not just temporarily setting aside an issue so that we don't have to think about it, like financial insecurity, but set it aside forever. So that, you know, by the wisdom of instinctive awareness and not getting wrapped up in the story of financial insecurity, we'll see clearly what to do and how to act in relation to that in a very skillful way. We'll see a way of proceeding that wouldn't be available otherwise. And this is true with that issue or any other. It doesn't help to belabor issues at all. It doesn't help to enter into he said, she said, this point of view has significance, I know it does. If I just let it be as it is, I know it's going to kill me. This point of view is so threatening to me that's coming up. If I don't think about it, I know something terrible is going to happen. They're just more points of view. It's because we've excessively elaborated everything that appears with all our stories that we seem to think that they have some kind of power to control us. But when we just rest in our instinctive nature, as everything appears within that, we see that descriptive frameworks don't pose a threat. Now, when people hear about this, they take to it immediately, or take to it after a while, or they don't take to it at all. You know, maybe the first time they hear it, they go, but, because we've been gorging ourselves on all these ideas about everything, just like an addict, a food addict, or a drug addict, or an alcoholic. We've been gorging ourselves on our points of view, on everything. We think about everything. And when we do that, we become an addict. We become dependent on our stories. And it is the foremost addiction of human society in general. And it is the most lethal addiction. Because the way we think as human society is the way we act as human society. And when we think in very limited ways, then we act in very limited ways. And we see the results of those actions in a world that has no wisdom governing the human family and the human community, that has very little wisdom in governance. When we realize our instinctive nature, then we realize the governance of wisdom. And that's, it's just so important. You know, when we look around and we see increasingly all over the world inappropriately and overly sexualized teenagers and even younger people who have no understanding whatsoever of their sexual nature. And then we see what we as adults are participating in putting out there that have trained young people in these perceptions. Then, you know, we can really say that there is no wisdom. There is no wisdom in the governance of these young people and the way they understand the world. And so, you know, everyone has to learn in their own way that the kinds of things we rely on that are external, like the way we look or how attractive we are sexually or how much money we have or the kind of job we have or whatever it may be, that these provide a very hollow existence. They provide a very hollow existence. No matter what kind of antidote we adopt, no matter how incredible it might be, say we were able to accomplish a lot in the world and we made scads of money, more money than almost everybody else. We could do anything we wanted. We would still have a hollow existence if we did not understand the nature of our own being. Even though we might be totally caught up in the arrogance of what we had accomplished and the money we had, we would still be totally lost in the derangement and confusion of a hollow existence because we wouldn't understand our own nature. And so you see, it really is the greatest moral question of the times and the greatest ethical question too. What is the nature of being human? That is the greatest moral and ethical question. What is the nature of being human? Is there something about us that we do not know, that we need to know, that can help us bring wisdom into our lives, into the life of every single person on earth, as well as into the human community, human society in general? In order to do that, we have to have at least some humility. The humility to be able to say, well, maybe we don't know what's going on. Maybe we think we know what's going on. But even if we think we know what's going on, couldn't we try something else out to see if there might be more than what we think is going on? And then by testing in one's own experience whether or not there is something instinctive to us that is greatly supportive of each of us as individuals and greatly supportive of human society in general, by testing that within ourselves, we can come to the conclusion that there is something instinctive that is beyond all the frameworks that we've come up with that have never really been complete. We've come up with all kinds of frameworks of existence within human culture, but they've always been complete, no matter what, incomplete, no matter what they are, creationism, natural selection, or what is sometimes called evolutionism. These might be just considered as two extremes. They're two extreme descriptive frameworks appearing within the instinctive nature of nature's intelligence. But neither one of those descriptions, those conceptual frameworks, is necessarily complete in itself. If it were complete in itself, if it really did live up to its promises, then it would resolve the nature of being human in a very complete way. But neither of these frameworks do provide any kind of immediate benefit to many people. They might provide some benefit to some people, and the ideas of science may provide some benefits across the board, but maybe there are even greater benefits that we can come up with within human culture that aren't so tied up in descriptive frameworks alone. So that's what we're talking about here. Are we willing to just say, well, maybe we don't know? Maybe we really don't know as much as we think we know. Maybe our ideas aren't quite as good as we thought they were. Let's take a look at another way of thinking about things, a way of thinking about things in which wisdom is ingrained in every thought we think, where wisdom is obvious in every thought we think. where wisdom is obvious in every emotion we have, where wisdom is obvious in every action we take, and where wisdom is seen clearly in every experience we have. The wisdom of nature's intelligence itself. Nature's intelligence is not a supreme being. That isn't what nature's intelligence is. Nature's intelligence is non-dual, and it does not have any dependent relationships within it. Now that alone is, it's mind-blowing. It completely blows every description we've come up with. The descriptions of creationism that state there is a supreme being. The descriptions of evolutionism that state there is no supreme being and that everything comes about through a process of natural selection. Creationists say a supreme being created everything. Evolutionists say everything creates itself or comes about through interdependent relationships of some kind. What if we enter another variable into the equation and we say, well, both of these are extremes, and there also is another way of thinking about it. The other way of thinking about it is that these ideas, no matter what they are that are incomplete, are all appearances within nature's intelligence. And as they are phenomenal existence of nature's intelligence itself, they always are nature's intelligence and everything, and nothing else. It isn't that nature's intelligence is ruling over them. They are appearances of nature's intelligence. When that isn't understood correctly, then it isn't seen, and so it's made into something. Oh, there has to be a power somewhere. All this is way too inexplicable. We can't explain it. So there must be a supreme being somewhere who's pulling all the strings. Or to say, well, we can't explain it, so it seems inexplicable, so we better look at every single detail of every single phenomenon. And when we look at every single detail of every single phenomenon and understand its behaviors and properties, then we'll understand what everything is. But we never do. Not through either of these means have we ever come to understand the nature of phenomena. Well, there is another way. You know, there is another way. We're not tied into descriptions. Nature is as it is. It never becomes anything other than, and never is anything other than itself, permanently and forever. It doesn't take on any form forever. Everything that appears within it is impermanent and temporary. Even something like the sun will be gone in 20 million years. So whatever seems permanent, it isn't. It's a temporary appearance of nature's intelligence. When we understand that about phenomena in general, and understand that about ourselves, then we really see what human life is, and we see how we fit in to the broader scope of things. Until we understand that, we don't know the score. We really don't know the score. We're just kind of flapping our wings, hoping to get through life. And not, and a lot of times not knowing where to turn next, or, you know, getting into a groove of just kind of, or a better word might be a rut, where we feel comfortable. We're in our rut, and wow, Found my rut. I'm so glad. Just going to live in my rut now that I found it. This is just a coping mechanism to try to bring some relief into the process of living, to get in the in a rut. But, you know, when we understand what our own instinctive nature is, and then we share that with others, life becomes worth living. It really becomes worth living. We start to feel like we really want to be around, like we really know what life's about. We're either starting to feel okay, or we feel incredibly okay. And what seemed like an ordeal of colliding relationships just becomes open and spacious. There isn't the pull of all the descriptive frameworks at all times. There isn't the pull of the need to be entertained by everything, to constantly find some source of entertainment, a story of some kind, even within ourselves or without ourselves. Externally, when we don't need to go to all those stories any longer to sustain and entertain ourselves, then we really start to see what life is about. We really start to be able to contribute to ourselves and contribute to others. It doesn't mean that everyone will hear what we want to say, but if they don't, well, that's fine too. That's just the way it is. There will always be plenty who do want to hear, so why bother with those who don't want to hear about it? It's just a waste of your speech. It's much easier to just stand there and listen. Just be an open space for whatever's going on. One of the things about becoming profoundly confident in awareness is that it's very clear that everything just is as it is. It's an expression of nature's intelligence. It isn't a thing in itself. So there's nothing to get wigged out about. As we gain confidence, we see that we have much more wisdom and relief by resting as awareness. So then why would we want to do anything else? Then we don't want to go to our stories anymore. We see more and more that the stories just don't provide any solace. They don't provide any comfort. And that feels good. Feels good. We rely on what works. It's that simple. When we find what works, we rely on what works. And this is from the smallest incidental parts of life, like the next thought or emotion, to great moral and ethical issues. When we become familiar with our instinctive nature, then we are resolving moral and ethical issues at the deepest level, not only for ourselves, but for everyone. And so, you know, this can seem like it would be impossible if we're accustomed to thinking we have to concoct enormous intellectual constructs in order to resolve moral and ethical issues. To find that the wisdom of complete morality and ethics is already within us, and just in the simple relief of being totally aware is incredible. It turns the apple cart upside down. Everything we've ever learned about our thoughts, emotions, and experiences is seen in a new light. And that new light is one that is amazing. It's truly amazing. It's truly amazing to find that we are not who we trained ourselves to believe we are. It's as simple as that. Sure. short moments of awareness repeated many times become automatic. That's it. It's the same thing that is stated over and over again here. And sometimes people, they just can't believe that just that one small act could deliver such power. It just seems impossible after what we've trained ourselves to believe. We've trained ourselves to believe that life is hard and we have to work hard to get good things. And when we find we can take one simple action and it can deliver such total transformation of our whole process of thinking and emoting and sensing the world, experiencing everything, it's stunning, really. It's really stunning. So why not check it out? And if you're one of the lucky ones, you'll rely only on that. If you're not one of the lucky ones, then maybe you'll just rely on it sometimes or try to mix it in with other things. But oil and water don't mix. They just don't mix. So if you're really lucky, you'll use only this. What can it hurt? Everyone here listening to this, all over the world, has been around long enough to be listening to this and understanding a little bit of what's being said. And so why not try it? Try it for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. Or if you really want to be bold, say, I'm going to try it for 3 years and I'm going to give it my all. Every single day for 3 years, I'm going to give it my all, starting today. Even if today I only remember 3 times to rest as awareness, for 3 times, that's going to be it. And I'm going to trust that every day there will be a little bit more. And no matter what happens, I won't give up. I'll never look back. Whether I rest or I don't rest, I'll keep resting when I remember to rest. And then eventually you'll realize that all the times you thought you weren't resting, you are resting too. So you see, all descriptive frameworks, resting is awareness, not resting awareness, they're all products of awareness. They all appear in awareness. So there's no getting out of it. There's no way to get out of it. It's just a matter of noticing who you are. Of really noticing who you are, of noticing how rooted in the power of nature you are, and that you're rooted there and nowhere else. You're not rooted in your thoughts. You're not rooted in your emotions. You're not identified by your sensations and your experiences. You're rooted in the power of nature, so check it out. What all of this boils down to is being able to live and behave in a natural way. That's what it boils down to. Where you just walk down the street and you feel a warm connection with everyone and all of life. And where there aren't any big deals. No matter what happens, there aren't any big deals. In other words, nothing happens that is seen as insurmountable. And why is that the case? Because we know that the solution is naturally present, and that by relying on that solution, we'll come to a point where we know what to do.